Now I'm asking for a motion for any amendments or an approval of today's meeting agenda.
Mr. Mayor, as I mentioned earlier to you, that you said that we were going to have a public hearing on this, but it was suggested by the Harbor Board that we have some kind of an informal roundtable discussion on, you know, what we're going to do with the proposed docks and what it's going to cost and all that stuff. But we can put that under council discussion if we want to just bring it up, and or maybe all the answers will have been answered before then. But anyway, they would like to start some informal sort of meetings and get this ball rolling, you know, with maybe one to see what the public has to say, sit them all in one room together informally. So anyway, I was asked to present that, and if you want to put it on the agenda, fine.
So that's not a formal action that was taken by the Harbor Board. It was just some ideas kicked around.
Yep.
I think at this point, since we're, you know, have had up to 6 months of public comment with our questionnaire, and now we're to the point of advertising for a public hearing on this offer from the state, I think we need to get some public comment, because the assembly needs to give the state DOT some kind of a response, because our deadline for receiving funding offered is January. So I think we need to go ahead with the public hearing. I guess we could, I don't know if it would be cart before the horse, if, you know, to have a roundtable later. But.
Okay. No, I just told him I'd mention.
Is there anybody wants to make a formal motion to that? I guess what we'd have to do if we wanted to, you know, put that in front of the public hearing, we'd have to hold off on the public hearing.
Well, I just think if we just do it under, we'll see how the public hearing goes. See if, you know, we'll just put it under council discussion maybe later on. I mean, it wouldn't have to be anything we take action on.
So it's add just, that to council discussion in today's meeting?
Yes.
Okay, we can make that 17B then. Okay, get back on track here. So is that the only discussion or amendment proposed for today's meeting agenda? Can't entertain a motion to approve the meeting agenda as amended.
So move.
Second?
Second that.
Okay, we'll add that one item about discussion on harbors by the assembly under 17B. Okay, public hearings. This is going to be a public hearing on the state's offer to transfer ownership of Entrance Island, Kuprinoff, and Pappy's Landing docks to the Petersburg Borough. And during this testimony, I know this is a contentious issue, so I'd appreciate it if people would be polite and not make any accusations of boards or anything that have made decisions on this. So with that being said, I'll open the public hearing up. Anybody interested to talk about the harbors? Dave?
Yes, good afternoon. I'm Dave Kensinger. I live in Lot 1, King Channel Subdivision. So I want to pretty much have my comments deal with the dock at Papke's. I know you guys are considering all three docks at this time, but Papke's is the one I'm familiar with, and that's one that I want to talk about. I know there's several outstanding issues here, but first, I don't think a lot of people really realize how busy Papke's actually is. I've lived down there since 1981, so I've seen a lot of changes over the 30-plus years. It's a busier place now than it was then, by far. I got pictures. I can show them to you if you ever want to see them. Earlier this summer, there were 60 vehicles parked out there. That's 60. There was 17 boat trailers out there. It's a busy place. Now, it's not like that all the time. And when you're talking about Papke's, you have to look at it in three parts. You have the dock, you have the two boat ramps, and the uplands. And so it's contentious. And I know you guys don't want to take them over. But it's just like, and I know there's been discussions about we need to have a service area to pay for them. But you know something? People in service area one would not want to pay for people's boat slips in the harbors any more than people in service area one want to pay for upkeep on Pappy's Landing. The way that we've traditionally approached how we deal with harbors is the people that use the facilities are the people that pay for the upkeep and maintenance of them. And so what I would like to propose is something maybe a little bit outside the box. I don't even know if it would be possible or not. It would take quite a bit of finagling. But just form, and I've talked with several of the other users out there, we just simply form the users of PAPUs, an association. You guys give us a dock. We impose whatever fees we think are necessary to maintain it and upkeep it, and the facility remains, hopefully, upgraded than what it is now. And this would do two things. One, it would put the actual burden of maintaining the facility and caring for the facility on the people that actually use it. And secondly, it wouldn't cost the city any money because we would be imposing enough fees on ourselves to pay for the maintenance and the upkeep of it. And I think one thing you got to realize before you decide just not to get rid of these docks is you have to look at them. The biggest change that's occurred in the use patterns of these last 10-plus years have been the lodges. There's three lodges right across from PAPKEs that use these facilities extensively. I don't know the numbers, but it's between 50 to 60 people a week, if not more, that come into our town, fly on our airplanes, stay in our hotels, buy groceries, buy a fishing license, and now that they're part of the borough, that also pay a bed tax and also pay property tax, and so they're, on sales tax. All these things are charged. So that's a lot of economic activity that goes through out there. Anytime any work's been done in the Narrows, whether it was the Army Corps when they were dredging the Narrows, anytime there's been a logging sale, thinners, there was a group of thinners that were using the dock last week that were going over to over the Kuprinoff. It's heavily used by resource development type of activities. So you have a lot of economic impact that you're going to eliminate. And that's before you even talk about the handful of people that live out there and that use it. Most of the use of PAPKEs occurs by other people than the people that live at PAPKEs. Actually, there's hardly anybody except for one person that really uses PAPKEs to put his boat there, and that's basically in the wintertime. The main people in this room that use the boat are me, Bob, my neighbor. But our use is pretty sporadic. We don't keep our boat there. I mean, I tied my boat up this morning so I could come to this meeting today. Now, it's really hard, if you live out where I live, to come all the way into town all the time because there's a big stretch of water there called Scow Bay that makes it really difficult a lot of times to get in and out of town. So it's also a safety issue. So I think there's ways that we can do this that the Harbor Board doesn't have to get involved with it. I think Kuprinoff expressed interest in taking over their dock. I think the state's giving, well, who wouldn't like more money from the state, but that's not going to probably happen. But I think there's some, it's not going to cost the amount of money that's proposed to maintain the dock, to upgrade the dock. It doesn't have to be the amount of money. And I don't think it's practical. I just looked at your spreadsheet on what it would cost the Harbor Board to go out there. And I understand those costs, and that would be great in a perfect world. That would be absolutely fantastic. We wouldn't have to deal with this. I wouldn't have to get my snowblower out anymore. Other members here in this room wouldn't have to get their hammers out and fix the dock on a regular basis. You know, somebody else would be doing the maintenance. But we've done it for the last 30 years. We can probably do it for the next 30 years. But we need to get something started right now. And to me, it's not an option, really, just to do nothing or let the state continue as a status quo. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Dave. Anybody else that has comments regarding the public hearing of the state harbor transfer? Okay, please come forward, state your name, and who you represent.
Hey, my name is Bonnie Westland. I have a lot down in King Channel. I've lived down there since 1983. I use PAPKE's dock to come in and out of town regularly. And I agree with a lot of things that Dave said. Just I think that the estimates are a little high on what we need to do. Like, I hadn't seen that estimate before, but today when you talk about shoveling and all that, I mean, if we spent a little bit more money, we could put an aluminum dock in and we wouldn't have to shovel it. That makes more sense to me. There wouldn't be any ice. There wouldn't be any snow. Long-term thinking, that makes a lot more sense to me than using wood, because that's the problem that we have right now. I think that a lot of the use of PAPKIs primarily is Service Area 1. It's not those of us who are living out. It's Service Area 1. They're bringing their boats out there to fish. They're docking their boat trailers out there. They're parking their abandoned cars. And I've had this discussion before with the city about the abandoned cars. And it's like, well, we don't know who they belong to. It's easy to find out who cars belong to. I mean, they have a VIN number. We know who they belong to. So they should be held responsible for those cars. I guess it's paperwork, but that can be done. And it's an ongoing thing. It's been going on for years. That's just where people dump their used cars that they don't want to deal with. But I would agree that we could form an association. I'd be more than happy to do the work. I mean, we're already doing the work. Most of us who live down there, we're shoveling it. You know, we're making sure that people can get up the dock without breaking their neck. We're more than happy to do that. I don't see that if we could work something out where those of us who use it will try to take care of it. The same thing with getting a fee. I mean, there are modern ways now that we could do that. You could have a service card. You know, you get a permit, you know, to dock your boat there, or you get a permit to use the ramp. You pay it once a year, and that's it. You get a ticket, just like you do in the harbor. I mean, you park your car there, you get a little sticker on your car, you have one on your boat. It doesn't seem like it's that complicated to me. So I'd just like to see us try to work something out together with the people who live down there, the people who use the dock. I don't know if there's that many people in town who use that ramp on a regular basis, park their cars out there. If they knew they were going to lose that facility, I think they would be here, or they would step forward. You'd think they would. I mean, I'm sure if they were told they couldn't use it, they'd be up here in a hurry. So that's just what I think, and I'd like to be a part of whatever we decide to do together. And I don't think you'd have any problem with getting most of the people that I know to work with you to do that. So.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, if I may.
Yes.
Just before we go further on this issue, because this comes up and it's a complicated situation, what we're talking about is just the above water dock facilities from the state. It has nothing to do with the ramp or the parking lot. Those are actually owned by DNR, and DNR has not offered those up at this point in this process. This is purely just the above water portion of the dock and floats.
And it doesn't include the parking lot as
well.
It
does not include the parking lot. Does not
include the float and
the tidelands that is underneath the dock or the ramp.
That's a good point of clarification, but I knew that, but maybe some people don't understand that that's what's being offered to us. Any other people, anybody else that wants to comment on the public hearing?
I'm Catherine Schneider, and I've lived in Petersburg for 25 years. I've done some fishing. I've done miscellaneous other work. I've done work for the government that's involved transportation by boat. I think it's a critical part. PAPKIs is a critical part of the infrastructure of what Petersburg Borough is and how we use water in fishing and going around recreation and all, whether we live out there or we live in town. And I think it's critical that the borough take on solving the problem of how to make PAPKIs work for our residents. And there probably needs to be a lot of brainstorming and working with DNR, working with the people that are willing to take on that, working with the borough to find a solution. But we need to find one. To me, it's not even debatable. So I just think that's critical. And I don't know what the solution is to Kuprinoff either. And I apologize for not giving you written comments. But I think, again, that's critical to what we are as a community, to what we are as a borough, to how we use it for recreation, for subsistence, for personal use, and commercial, and all of that. And it's critical that we do that, too. As far as Birgit Bay, I don't have any comments either way. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else want to testify or public hearings on the state your name and who you represent, Joel?
Thank you for the opportunity to talk. My name is Joel Randerp. I represent myself. I would like to see these taken over just because of the use and the customary and traditional use that we've the city's been using for the citizens. I grew up down there. Many of you may know we have property directly across from Pappy's. So, you know, I'm speaking more from my side of it than someone that just lives in town, maybe doesn't use it. But the other thing I'd like to see this process hopefully go on a little bit longer, if possible. I understand you guys have to come up with an answer, but public input is really good, and more discussion you get to make a good decision. Mostly, I think my feelings are the infrastructure is already there, and if you don't take them over and let it degrade and then for safety issues, they just remove everything that's there. Trying to put something like that back there, or have the opportunity for expansion of harbors or anything of that nature, marine facility, a pullout, assessing the uplands, maybe buying those and having a more industry. You know, it takes away from any opportunities that may come down the road. I do understand the fiscal implications of this, so, you know, sitting on your side of the table, I don't know everything about, you know, how to pay for it. But I would like to see the stay in place. I'm speaking mostly about Pappy's. I don't know much about Entrance Island and how, you know, any revenues from that or how that would work into place. And Kuprinoff, we could work with the city there, and possibly they can come up with a plan to take that over or, you know, be working along those lines. But I would like to see hopefully more public input. I read the flyer. I'm trying to catch up with everything on the fly here, but it seems like there should be more public input on the survey and sort of thing, too. So thank you for letting me speak.
Thanks, Joel. Anybody else want to testify under the public hearing today? Tim?
Yeah, thanks. I'm Tim Keenum, and I live in 917 Sandy Beach Road, and I just the opportunity to talk about Pappy's. I'm only speaking for myself. Many of the smaller hand trawlers that I fish around in the wintertime have a dependency on Pappy's Landing to get their catch to, and it's an important part of them. These are not gillnetters that are in Palm Springs or Sun Valley or Saners or anything like that. These are folks that live here and fish throughout the winter. And although it's a small portion of our fishing community, that's something you should consider. Second, in my 22 years as an EMT here, we have picked up a number of people at Pappy's Landing, and it has very much gotten medical care to those people before they would otherwise come into town. So that's a safety consideration. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. Anybody else want to testify today under the public hearing on the state dock issue? Please step forward. Okay. Seeing no other... Debbie, well, you want to read some stuff into the record. That's right. It's your turn. Maybe someone will change their mind. Then.
Sorry. Okay, this is from Ken and Laura Howard. They say, please accept the following comments as public testimony for the hearing on Entrance Island, Kuprinoff Dock, and Pappy's Landing. Because we are unable to attend the public comment meeting, we would appreciate it if Debbie Thompson read our letter for the record. Pappy's Landing. We have lived at King Channel since 2004. Over the years, we have observed that Papke's Landing is very much a multi-use facility. Year-around users include a handful of families, around 12, living outside the Petersburg Borough road system. Other year-around users include hand trollers, crabbers, gillnetters, Forest Service contractors, state troopers, U.S. Coast Guard, hunters, trappers, fishing and hunting guides, as well as a host of recreational users. It serves as a distribution point for propane, gas, and spotting area for AML containers, as well as a pickup for boats in need of service or repair. Use of Papke's greatly increases in number by two or threefold in the summer. Summer use is primarily dominated by the three lodges on Kuprinoff Island. Papke's is a key part of our borough infrastructure. It is an access point to Sumner Strait, Duncan Canal, and South Wrangell Narrows. It should be included and managed as a resource by the Borough Port Authority, much like the harbors in town. Papke's may not be as aesthetically pleasing to look at as our other harbors, but it is a valuable asset, and the services it provides are important to many. Presently, there is no one to enforce rules or regulations with regards to mooring time, parking, littering, and so there is much abuse occurs because of this. Papke's is a valuable, used, and needed port. All users should contribute their fair share to support this facility, and we are open to making our fair contribution to this end. It is not, however, the sole responsibility for those residents beyond the road system to bear the entire financial burden for Papke's, which serves as a gateway for all borough residents to access our resources and recreational opportunities. It would be nice if Petersburg followed the lead of Wrangell with regards to Myerscheck and Sitka with regards to Warm Springs and took the lead to secure and manage this facility. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to share our views. We hope you take them into consideration. Ken and Laura Howard. John Mergus sent this in as well. He said he is out of town today. The Papke's Landing Dock facility is only one part of the total facility. The adjacent boat ramps and parking lots are equally important as the dock in order to make Papke's a functional facility. For the Petersburg Borough to take over ownership of the dock only without addressing Alaska Department of Natural Resources' disposition of the boat ramps and Alaska Mental Health's disposition of the parking lots would be like buying a car without tires or building a house without the foundation. The Petersburg Borough recently completed conveyance of Tidelands property from ADNR at Scow Bay. That process took over 20 years because of bureaucratic requirements. And we all know the challenges of dealing with Alaska Mental Health. We are all on the same page as to the importance of Papke's as a functional port facility, but it's unfair for Alaska DOT to expect the Petersburg Borough to buy only the dock, knowing the almost insurmountable challenges of dealing with mental health and DNR. DOT may say they have little pull with those two agencies, but it's far more pull than the Petersburg Borough has. DOT needs to do more to ensure, preferably guarantee, cooperation from Alaska DNR and mental health. Thank you, John Mergus. This is a letter from the mayor of Kuprinoff, Mr. Reinhartz, to Mayor Jensen and the Petersburg Borough Assembly members. The subject is the state float in the city of Kuprinoff. Ladies and gentlemen, since the state's initial offer of the subject float in 2010, the city of Kuprinoff has remained committed to ownership of the float. The city took the offer in 2010 very seriously and carefully studied the responsibilities of ownership to determine if the city had the long-term capability and desire to accept ownership. After this detailed study, the city council voted unanimously to accept ownership. That unanimous commitment to ownership still exists. The city requests that the borough accept ownership of the subject float and transfer that ownership to the city along with an equitable portion of the funds received from the state. We believe we are the appropriate municipality to have ownership and responsibility of the facility. Number one, the float has not received any state-funded maintenance and repair in many years. During that time, the city has annually budgeted money for maintenance and repair of the float to keep it safe. Number two, the land at the access to the float is owned and maintained by the city. Number three, the float provides easy access to the city community building in addition to local residents to their homes. Number four, the float not only serves city residents, but it also serves many borough residents as well as tour groups. And number five, the city is financially stable and in a strong position to provide the required maintenance and repair so that all borough residents and visitors can gain access to the Kuprinoff Trail System. If you have any questions or desire additional information, please contact us. We look forward to working with the borough to facilitate the acceptance of the offered float facilities and transfer of the Kuprinoff facility. And then we have a letter from Don and Charlene Anderson to the Petersburg Borough Mayor and Assembly members regarding Papke's Landing. Dear Mayor Jensen and Assembly members, we will be out of town on November 7 and respectfully request our comments be read by the clerk and included in the public comments of that meeting. Thank you. What is Papke's? Access. It is the southwest transition point where the road system meets the waterways. It offers Mitkoff residents quick access to the borough's southwest lands and waters. Rural southwest residents and businesses use Papke's to access the road system. Who uses Papke's? Mitkoff residents living on the road system and rural southwest borough residents living off the road system. Tourists staying at the lodges in the Narrows, commercial fishermen, charter operators picking up guests, workers needing transport to remote job sites, transient boats traveling through the Narrows. The Trooper and Fish and Game are all users of this facility. Why is it important? The future. The ease of access between the road system and the southwest borough waters and properties encourages all residents to use and enjoy the vast resources incorporated into the Petersburg borough. As Petersburg grows, more people are seeking rural lifestyles. Papke's is and should continue to be the facilitator to encourage that growth. This existing infrastructure is a valuable asset that should be preserved. For all the reasons put forth in Petersburg's petition for borough incorporation, Papke's is the link between the Mitkoff Island road system and the southwest borough lands and waterways. We urge the Assembly to negotiate the best possible terms for the acquisition of Papke's and to move forward into the future. Thank you for your time and consideration. Sincerely, Don and Charlene Anderson.
Thank you, Debbie, for reading those comments. Once again, I'll ask if there's anybody else in the audience that would like to participate in the public hearing today. If not, we will close the public hearing and move on.
Mayor, Borough Assembly people, Charles Christensen. I have a remote cabin out in the Blind Slough area. I'm more like a part-time user of the Papke's facility. And maybe a little history here. I think years ago when I think Don Konings was the mayor and he formed the Parks and Recs Board, I was the recipient of one of those appointments. And we were given the task of dealing with Papke's at that time. And I think my memory is right. We ran into the same problem you're running into, is the upland service for that Papke's land area there. And we didn't get anywhere because you know how dealing with DNR is. It's not good. Anyway, I think from my opinion that all this needs to be married together with BAPCES is that upland service, because that dock, even if we do repair it, keep it going, we still have that same problem of the upland service for this, for the, that dock. And I think to move forward, we have to have an answer to that question and have those all tied together. Thank you.
Thank you, Charlie. Is there anybody else in the audience that would like to testify under the public hearing today on this issue? Seeing none, the public hearing is closed. We'll move on to the next item on the agenda, which is bid awards. There's nothing listed there. Next item is visitors' views related to items on today's agenda. So if anybody would like to speak, please come forward, state your name, and who you represent.
Thank you, Mayor Jensen. I'm going to get used to this microphone. Mayor Jensen and assembly members, my name is Nivette Bowen. And even though I'm far-ranging, my permanent residence is here. I grew up here, and I consider this home. I'm here today to submit a letter with 50 signatures requesting the borough retain the waterfront parcel, 919 Sandy Beach Road. We believe this land should remain in public ownership as green space and part of our community's natural and cultural heritage for future generations. And we don't believe it should be sold. And also, because of its proximity to the petroglyphs and the fish trap, a local archaeologist has volunteered their services should the community want, with community partners, to more fully understand what we may be relinquishing by selling this and privatizing this land. Above all, I join others who have pointed out that the process about this particular parcel has been complicated and a little confusing, you know, if public means private or however that goes, and contentious as well. And, in fact, as far as the confusing part, our letter, which I'm submitting to you, was given to the city or to the borough offices for the planning and zoning committee, and then when that was delayed, we resubmitted it with a few extra signatures, and apparently that didn't make it in the planning and zoning packet. So we're glad to give it to you today, so it's on the record. So I guess in short, we ask that you, at the very least, you reconsider your deliberation on this and to and not sell it, and ultimately identify other land and other sources of funds to meet our borough's needs. So thank you.
Thank you. I'm glad you had time to testify today.
And do I just leave this with you guys?
Okay. Sure, leave it with the clerk, please.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, any other visitors in the audience today with the views related to the agenda?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, Assembly members, my name is Tim Keenum, and I live at 917 Sandy Beach Road, one of the adjacent lots to Lot 10, which you have decided to sell. I'm going to address three different items on the agenda, 15A, 15C, and 15E. You have my letter that provides a history of the events that have occurred since we purchased that property in 1972. And we've lived on the property since 1975. As Nivette said, it's been a very confusing situation for the last year for me. On three different times through my history of living there, I've given the city survey information and other information that came up. So I was notified Friday by phone that our application to purchase a portion of the property was not considered appropriate by the city attorney. I'm not an attorney. As a matter of fact, I will admit that I have a very difficult time reading the confusing codes and charters that you have with associated with planning, zoning, and land in this borough. And in my opinion, the existing charter and procedures need to be really critically reviewed and changed as needed so that we have an effective and efficient means to address issues by citizens of the borough. Your Planning and Zoning Commission has a very difficult job with what they have to work with today. You and your staff are the stewards of our resources, our lands, and our facilities. It's a great responsibility. And I believe that the decision you made to sell that property was made without adequate information. The purchase and construction of a home is significant, and for many of us, our single most investment and most citizens make in their lifetime. Such decisions cannot be maintained with the degree of confidence if zoning often changes, and such is the current situation with us. We were not notified as required when the zoning of Lot 10 was changed from green zone to public use, nor were we notified when a portion of U.S. Survey 3276, which is adjacent to my property, was considered for replatting. I'll be requesting documentation on that information from the city because it doesn't exist. Polly and I have talked it over. We go through our mail very efficiently, and we were not notified. The history of our residence is included in the text of a letter, which you have. And if you have questions on that, I can certainly answer them. That letter was dated the 27th of September, 2016. Many of the markers on the Sandy Beach portion of my lot, the southwest side, have been removed through maintenance and regular things. I will get those resurveyed. My primary interest is to maintain a free and clear title so that should something happen to Polly and I, my successors aren't stuck with a mess which exists there now. With respect to Lot 10, as noted in documents presented to the Planning and Zoning Commission, if the borough is determined to sell it, we would consider purchasing a portion of Lot 10 to protect the privacy we have had through the years. That privacy up to this point, since 1978 and until the time that it was reclassified as public use, was secured by the green zone classification. And I think the proper way to continue the zoning is a green zone. But as I've noted to a few borough employees, there are some dangerous trees on that need to be taken care of. Again, going back to the idea of that you are the stewards of the resource, that's the responsibility you have. So in 15A, I oppose it because I think it should return to green zone. In 15C, I oppose it. It should also go back to green zone. And in 15E, I think you have an error in there. There is no easement in Lot 10. I don't know how you can vacate an easement that doesn't exist. So I'll be glad to answer your questions, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Tim. Is there any questions of Tim? Okay, thanks, Tim. Anybody else in the audience today that would like to talk under views related to items on the agenda? Sure. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Mayor Jensen and Assembly members. My name's Chris Norris. I live at 1001 Sandy Beach Road. I'm the owner of Lot N, which is adjacent to Lot 10. I want to speak on agenda items 15A, C, and E. I think the issues before you today surrounding Lot 10 at 919 Sandy Beach Road are varied, complicated, confusing even to those closely involved with them, and have been somewhat lacking for a good process. I sincerely appreciate the conclusions and recommendations made by the Planning and Zoning Commission. The Commission did not recommend rezoning the property. They did not recommend vacation of the easement. They did recommend unanimously that the Borough Assembly consider the public interest in retaining Lot 10 as public property and not selling it at all, And they recommended that if the assembly determines to sell Lot 10, then they should consider the adjacent property owner's request to purchase property per their applications. I realize that the Planning and Zoning Commission is advisory only, but at least it's a public process with notice. Contrary to the requirements of the Planning and Zoning Commission, the Borough Assembly does not contact adjacent property owners when considering action on borough-owned land that may impact adjacent property owners. Whereas the Planning Commission is required to contact property owners within 600 feet of the property in question and with 2 weeks prior notice of any meeting scheduled, a practice the borough does not follow. The Planning Commission is also required to post public notices on the property in question. As a result, Lot 10 has three posted notices for the public to view. So anyone driving by, riding their bicycle, or walking along Sandy Beach Road can see these posted notices and read it. And because of these visible postings, I've had a lot of folks stop me and ask what is going on. And frankly, it's too darn complicated to explain to them. I think this is a good public notice practice that should be followed. When I first heard that the borough was thinking of selling property, I contacted the borough community and economic development director on more than one occasion to express concerns with the future of Lot 10. I was assured I would be given notice before any action by the borough occurred. This did not happen. When I found out the Borough Assembly had taken action to state their intent with regard to the sale of Lot 10 and other actions, I contacted the director to find out why I had not received notice that this would be up for review, and I was told it was being handled by the Director of Finance. In August, I learned that there is an application process to purchase land from the borough. Both the Community and Economic Development Director and the borough clerk helped me to understand the process and fill out the application correctly, and I sincerely appreciate their assistance with this. I filed the application in mid-August. I paid the filing fee, and my check was cashed. The application was considered by Planning and Zoning at their October meeting, and they recommended that the borough consider the request application. Last Friday, 72 hours before this meeting, I was told my application would not be considered as the borough had already stated their intent to vacate the 50-foot easement located between my property, which is Lot N, and Lot 10, which is currently owned by the borough. This is the same land that I filed an application to purchase. I was taken aback to find this out, as I had carefully followed the instructions and advice given me by the borough employees who are most knowledgeable about the process, and I did things accordingly. It's not my intention here to fault the employees, merely to point out how confusing this is, even to the people who are most knowledgeable. And for those of us residents that are caught up in these issues, it's a real quagmire to try to figure out. So I'm not faulting any employees. I just lay out that scenario so you understand my frustration. Since my application wasn't included in your packet today, I've passed out a map to you to show you what I propose to do in my application to purchase land. So the red area is that part of the easement, which is adjacent to Lot N, which is what I own. And the full width of that is 50 feet. The cross-hatched part is 20 feet, which is being proposed for private access and utility. And the orange part on there is a pullout that I currently use. So this is the land that I'd filed an application to purchase. If the borough vacates the easement, giving 30 feet of the lot to the adjacent Lot 10 and making 20 feet, which is the crosshatched part, into a private access for any future owner of Lot 10. Only the owner of Lot 10 will have access to that 20 feet. So this means that I will lose the pullout I have used for 37 years to safely exit my property. This pullout was in existence prior to my purchase of Lot N from the state of Alaska in 1979. This is a huge change for me and would require me backing up out of my driveway. And I'm sorry I didn't think of measuring this, but I know some of you have been down that driveway. I'm going to guess it's at least 100 feet. And then backing up into any traffic that's on Sandy Beach Road, where the road forms a curve and has been the site of at least one significant vehicle accident, if not more. Such action would create a very dangerous situation. When I purchased Lot N in 1979 from the state of Alaska, the adjacent property, Lot 10, was owned by the state of Alaska and, as you heard earlier, was considered green space. The city of Petersburg later acquired this property, and now the Petersburg Borough is the current owner, and the property is zoned public. Contrary to what most of us would consider public use, we find out that public use actually includes single-family dwelling, and I find this label incredibly misleading and contrary to the definition. I mean, why would anyone think that public use would include single-family dwellings that are privately owned? Doesn't make sense. If Lot 10 is rezoned and the easement is vacated and Lot 10 is sold, I will be severely impacted. The desirability of my property will be decreased, the value will decrease, and I will be put in a hazardous situation every time I exit my property and continue on to Sandy Beach Road. I would like to see the borough of Petersburg retain ownership of Lot 10 and keep it as green space. And I suggest making up the difference in funds with the sale of other property that may not be as controversial. If you feel the need to go ahead with the sale, I ask that you consider my application to purchase all or at least a portion of the easement so that I can continue to use the pullout I've used since 1979 to safely exit my driveway onto Sandy Beach Road. This portion of the easement is not required to make Lot 10 more desirable or more buildable. At well over an acre, it is already quite large, particularly in comparison to other lots on Sandy Beach Road. However, the pullout is critical to my safety. Thanks for the opportunity to comment. I'd be glad to answer any questions, and I'll be here for later in the meeting when you have some deliberations on this.
Okay, thank you, Chris. Is there any questions, Chris? Thank you for your testimony. Is there any other visitors in the audience today with views related to items on today's agenda? Okay, seeing none, we'll move to visitors' views unrelated to items on today's agenda. Is there anybody in the audience who would like to speak to something that's not listed on the agenda today? Okay, we'll move forward. There are no board, commission, and committee reports. No items on the consent agenda. Report of other officers. We have our insurance carrier provider in the audience, and if there was any questions about the liability of the borough taking over the harbors, she was going to provide that information. But I don't think any of the assembly members have any questions, do you? Okay. So thank you, Sue. And if you're going to stay, I don't know if there'll be questions later, but item B under report of other officers is item 16-308. It's a notification of noncompliance to vacate and repair. Is somebody in the Joe or Liz or somebody? Okay, Joe. Yeah, can you please step to the microphone so the people can hear that are listening outside of the room?
Well, my name is Joe Bertignoli. I'm the building official, and this is brought forward because of this trailer up on Lumber Street, which 4W, an Island Trailer Court, that we considered a dangerous building, or I did. Months ago, it was as a timeline. I don't know if you got the timeline. It was back in September. And we boarded the place up after we decided that it was dangerous, and you've seen some of the pictures of it. Obviously, it's a danger to anybody that's in there, plus a danger to anybody that's in the neighborhood. So that being said, after we boarded up, we have 30 days to act on it, and that's where we're at now. But in the meantime, we found that people had taken off the boards off the doors and were living in there again. So again, on last October 26th, we got an administrative warrant and went up there with the police and evacuated the squatters or the tenants or whoever was in there. Staying there wasn't the owner of the trailer, and boarded it back up again. So I guess where we're at now is we're past the 30 days, and we need to bring it to you folks to see where, what direction you want to go in now.
So you're asking basically for support to vacate, or what would happen? Would the borough demolish the property, Liz? Would you?
Yeah. Well, she's been the one in close contact with the attorney on a lot of this stuff herself.
Yeah. I didn't see
too much
a request of us listed here, so.
Vera with Community Development. So the ordinance requires that after 30 days, we've given 30 days notice to the owner that they either need to repair or demolish the structure, and they haven't responded. So our job is to notify the assembly. The assembly, in turn, required to hold a public hearing to determine whether the assembly and the borough wants to take action to actually do anything with this in terms of repair. I'm going in and out here. Repair and demolishing that structure. So this is our notification that this structure is in non-compliance, and it's been more than 30 days now, and then giving you notice that you're supposed to schedule a public hearing. At that point, we would notify the owner and move forward from there.
Okay, thank you. Debbie, could you schedule that for the next meeting then?
I can do that.
Thank you. Any questions of Liz or Joe? The picture's kind of, picture's worth 1,000 words or whatever, however many you want to say. So if you look.
Yeah, and we just sent you the juicy ones. We took several pictures of there, and it's from one end of the trailer to the other. Mainly the main issue, a lot of it is the electrical issues, which we all know an electrical problem is life-threatening plus fire hazard. So that's along with the lack of sanitary facilities. General, this was a danger to the and you know the proximity of trailers up there. If something happens to one, it endangers your neighbors also. So that's the big deal.
Right. I like the picture of the propane thing heating the water tank.
No, that was creative, wasn't it?
The weed burner.
How do you heat your hot water? With a weed burner?
Yeah, not recommended. Okay, so thank you, and we'll have a public hearing on this at the next meeting.
Mr. Mayor, I just wanted to clarify. Are you going to actually have the hearing at the next meeting?
Well, that's what you're requesting, is that we have to have a public hearing. That's
right.
The next meeting. Is that too soon?
Well, I was just thinking that only gives the owner and surrounding property owners, not very much notice.
During the public hearing, if that's too short a notice to alert them that there's going to be a public hearing?
I would think so. They might want to be able to contact an electrician, get someone over there to determine how much it would cost to repair it or make some arrangements.
So currently it's unoccupied.
Right.
So
as far as we can tell.
Mr. Mayor.
Right, but I think that's been an ongoing issue, right, with them going back in. Do we stand any liability if we don't take action sooner than later and let they get back into the building? Or they've been notified, so we're covered?
We're continuing to monitor the situation. What I was going to ask is, if I may, Liz, would the first meeting in December work better as far as giving notice?
I think so. I think, more or less 30 days would be nice.
Okay, we could move it to the first meeting in December. I just thought it was a something we should get rolling on instead of letting it fester. Might not have been the proper word, but okay. Okay, so thank you for that report. And now that brings us to the mayor's report. It's not too lengthy. We're seeking letters of interest. The borough is seeking letters of interest from Petersburg residents willing to serve on the following boards, commissions until October 2017. That's the next municipal election. We're looking for one person for the school board, two people for the hospital board, and planning commission has one vacant seat. And also, there's a vacancy on public safety. It wasn't listed here, I believe. And there is a letter of interest for that from Donald C. Jones. He has submitted a letter of interest for the one vacant public safety advisory board seat. And without any objection by the assembly, I would like to appoint Mr. Jones to that position. And people that are interested, if any, to those other seats, you can send a letter to Box 329 or email dthompson@petersburgak.gov. And or come to the office. It's located at 15 North 12th Street in the PIA building upstairs. And we're going to be seeking letters of interest to serve on the Southeast Alaska Power Agency for 2017. We'll receive letters until the first meeting in December, and at that point we will appoint one voting member and one alternate. That's what we have next year. This year we had two. So now's your chance to put the letters in. We went to a meeting in Wrangell, a SEPA board meeting last Tuesday, and it was a good meeting. We had some updates on the Swan Lake Raise project. When we were at the meeting, the last photos that we saw of the dam, it was like 2 or 3 feet below the old spillway. I talked to the CEO right before the meeting. It was 6 inches above the old spillway, so we have new water. He was saying that 1 inch of rain down there equates to about a foot of lake raise, so we've got 14 and a half feet to go. And that was about it for the SEPA meeting. We're negotiating a contract with the CEO, so we'll see how that all works out. And they're going to start looking into, like they have been already, the possibility of a third turbine at Tyee. So we'll see how that all shapes up. Next thing is pesticide general permit information meeting. The Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation will hold an information forum regarding the renewal of a pesticide general permit for discharges from the application of pesticides to waters of Alaska on Wednesday, November 9th at 6 p.m. It'll be in this room, in the PIA conference room at 15 North 12th Street. We received a letter of thank you from Shelley at Southeast Conference, appreciating how well everything went here in Petersburg for that meeting, and it was pretty well attended and ran pretty smooth. We had beautiful weather, so it was easy for people to mill around town. And that is it for the mayor's report. Well, one other thing I could add, I guess some of us are going to be attending the Alaska Municipal League starting on the 14th through the 19th. And the manager and I will be there coming through Juneau on the 19th. In the morning, we're going to meet with our lobbyist and Randy Guerrero from Senator Stebbins' office to talk over issues of concern to the borough. So, Steve, you're up.
Thank you, sir. Cameco is a little bit behind schedule on the bulkhead project. Substantial completion is off by about a week, so we are looking at a walkthrough sometime this week. Harbor maintenance staff, with some help from Public Works, is working on demolishing an impounded derelict vehicle. So if you see them beating on a boat, it is one that they're authorized to do that. Community Center will be closed Tuesday, 11th of November for Veterans Day and the 24th for Thanksgiving. Also at the Aquatic Center, the pumpkin patch plunge went really, really well, or swimmingly well, in Chandra's words. 30 more pumpkins were ordered this year than last year. We had a really good turnout, and many of the kids participated in the swim and painting the pumpkins and watching the movie. The Recreational Basketball League is coming to an end. Teams have been picked for All-Stars. Our first competition, did they actually make it to Wrangell? No. So we with weather being what it was, didn't make it to Wrangell. I believe Wrangell will be coming here this coming weekend if weather permits. We do invite the community to come out and show their support for the our Petersburg All-Stars. Chandra met with Susan Harai and Carl to review the PIA long-term plan. This plan interacts with the borough to assist in maintenance duties on trails, snow removal, and establishes some future plans and goals for the new trails and projects. As funding gets tighter, being able to access what PIA can do for us becomes increasingly important, and to try to keep our services at the level that people are expecting. The library submitted their annual statistical report to the state and found that FY16 showed a 20% increase in local checkouts over 15. Library staff checked out over 107,000 items between July 1st, 2015 and June 30th, 2016. In part, the increase can be attributed to the library joining the Joint Library Consortium in June of 2015. This gives our community access to over 2 million items in library collections across Alaska, and people in Petersburg seem to be making excellent use of the new service. Thanks to Matt Briner, who's got the Christmas lights up on the library, and the Friends of the Library will provide funding for this annual project. The water heat replacement at the manor is just waiting on electricians and plumbers' schedules to work out, and we'll get that started. Design drawings for the portico repair at the manor will be completed for borough staff to review and comment by the first of next week. Project specifications will be worked on during the month of November, and the completed design specification and bid package will be ready hopefully by mid-December. Current hiring process is underway to fill 3 corrections officer dispatch positions and 1 police officer position. Testing and selection are scheduled to take place this week, and primarily today. Hopefully we find some good candidates. Chief Swihart and I met with Dean Williams, the Department of Corrections Commissioner, and in charge of pretrial for the state. They visited last week, and we met to talk about the community jails program. It's fairly clear that the state is going to continue to reduce that amount over time, unless things change dramatically. Just as a reminder, we used to receive close to $350,000 a year. Today, we're receiving $173,000. In Commissioner Williams' world, if he doesn't find other ways for us to add value to that, it's likely to all go away. What he's referred to is potentially our officers doing parole duties, filling in the role of a parole officer, potentially housing prisoners, prior to trial rather than having them shipped to Juneau, and any other things like that. This, again, would be not for additional funding, just to keep what funding we do have, which clearly would cost us more money to do some of those things. So we'll see how this goes. Basically, we left him with the answer, we're open to talking, don't want to make any commitments, and kind of like a lot of things, the devil's in the details. So we have to kind of know a little bit more specific on what they would want us to do before we agree to take on any new duties. And although that $173,000 that we get is pretty useful. An Altec representative was here for a couple of days inspecting and certifying our 3 Altec trucks, which is the digger derrick, large bucket truck, and service truck, and providing instruction on the new service truck. In addition, he's tested our hot sticks to ensure their electric integrity. This is a safety issue for the linemen and such. You heard a little bit of when Joe talked, but we continue to have power theft issues at the Island Park Trailer Court. Several members of the borough staff met with the owners of that park. They are, at least at this point, very interested in cleaning that up and fixing some of those issues. Hopefully that's true. It has become a bit of a dumping ground, as well as an area that our police have to go up to quite frequently. So It is high on our list, as you heard from Joe. You know, that's not the only trailer that is we would call significantly dangerous. We're handling them as we have staff and time to deal with it. But it's not fair to the residents who are keeping their property nice and safe to allow some of this to keep going on. And so we are paying attention both from a law enforcement perspective as well as code enforcement in Joe and Liz's area. Jody and I met with the hospital and school to discuss current and future budget challenges. This is a meeting that we hope to have it ongoing. We've scheduled a second meeting for December 9th. This will also include a representative from each of the boards. Eric is potentially going to be our rep from the assembly, and there's a person from the hospital and the school also involved from their boards. So it's basically the borough manager equivalent and the finance director equivalent for each of those organizations. The quick take is we have to meet a lot more before we know what to do, but we all kind of know the challenges, which is we've got a hospital that is in desperate need of renovations or we're going to lose it at some point. We have a school that is pretty much counting on a fairly large payment from the borough that is currently generated from property taxes as well as a federal program that is likely to go away. And the borough itself is facing, you know, upwards of, you know, over $1 million in potential cuts from both federal and state agencies. So to say it's a happy meeting would not be necessarily accurate, but it is, I think we all three groups have a goal. Can we come up with something that we can just talk about among all three of the boards as well as the community to say, how are we going to deal with this? If we want to continue with our quality of life that we've become accustomed to here and have facilities like the hospital and the schools at a level that we come to expect, we're going to have to do something. And so basically it's one of those things, it's either revenue or expenses or a combination of both, and it's going to affect probably all three agencies, three groups at some point. So we'll keep meeting, and hopefully we'll come up with some ideas on that we can bring before the community and the three boards. Liz, Mark, Bob, and I attended a teleconference with the DNR Deputy Commissioner and Ray Matuszewski, our lobbyist, and Randy Rivero from Senator Stedman's office. This was primarily to discuss increasing the land selection entitlement for Petersburg and discussing the next steps with DNR to move this process forward. On the surface, and Liz, if I, you know, say it wrong, tell me, but it sounded encouraging from the perspective of DNR. And Randy from Senator Stedman's office is willing to help as well as Ray. So we have to keep moving forward. And there's a process for that. But it was all good news, although nothing's guaranteed in the legislature these days. So we're not exactly sure how far we'll get, but we're going to keep pushing it. So, Liz and the community, we've started initiating the work with Chris Beck of Agnew Beck to revise the Title 19 zoning code. Liz met with the downtown business property owners to discuss key characteristics of a downtown area and ways to improve the code, and then met with the Planning Commission to discuss ways to streamline the permitting procedures. What we're trying to do is simplify the zoning codes in some ways, make it more appropriate for a small community rather than something that feels like it was written for Anchorage or Juneau or something. At the same time, we need some form of process and procedures in place that allows the process to work smoothly. So we'll keep working on this. It's going to be kind of a long haul. It's a very complex ordinance. And, you know, we have to adapt it. What we have as a model have to be adapted for use in Petersburg. So it's going to take a while, but it is on top priority. The French drain at the bottom of Surf Street appears to be working well. Recent rain events, and is that still true, Carl? Okay, great. did not result in any groundwater flowing over the South Nordic sidewalks at that location. The situation will continue to be monitored during heavy rain events. Public Works staff is working on an old city storm drain that was installed across private property. I don't really know why that was done, but at this point we're in the fix mode. This drain was installed across private property at 2nd and Joa Streets without an easement from the property owner, so it really shouldn't be there. It's also a continual problem for the borough as high rainfall has threatened to back up into the home's basement on an annual basis. So we are in the process of fixing that so we can correct it, get out of it, and turn it over to the homeowner and say it's all yours from this point forward. So thanks to Carl's group and the homeowner involved there in making this happen and eliminating kind of a worry and a liability for the borough. Our staff completed the widening of a turnaround on Cabin Creek Road for the school bus as they've continued to pick kids up out the road when the road is passable in the turnaround. It makes it a lot easier and safer for the school bus. Water staff is planning for replacement of the meter valve pipe and fittings at Icicle Seafoods later this fall and winter. And we had P&D Engineers, the borough's consultant for dam safety inspections, has submitted a proposal for designing a rehabilitation project for the City Creek Dam. This is getting increasingly a more important issue. The design will include a rehab of the spillway as well as the required screens for the pipeline intake. And this will be back in front of the assembly at some point. And it's out of the water fund, but we'll be fairly pricey, but if we want to keep our water supply where it is, we need to do something. So. Construction of the Pump Station 1 and Force Main Upgrade Phase 2 project is substantially complete, and the upgraded pump stations and new Force Main are performing well. The contractor, which was CBC Construction, is working on the last few punch list items, and a final change order is being put together to address additional work performed by the contractor during the later stages of the project. And it will be presented to the assembly for approval once that is complete and ready for your review. Congratulations to Kevin Granberg, one of our existing sanitation employees who has been promoted to fill the vacant operations supervisor's position in sanitation. So kudos to him. And I'm done unless there's questions.
Okay, any questions of the manager on this? Any of the topics in his report? Okay, anybody interested in taking a quick break before we move on to unfinished business and new business? We better take 5 minutes, or as quick as we can get back. We've got a lot of stuff to cover still, so we'll take a few minutes. Okay, we're back on record. We'll call the meeting back to order. It's 1:19 p.m., November 7th, 2016. So next item on the agenda is unfinished business. There's nothing listed under that, so we'll move to new business. First item under new business is ordinance number 16-12. And this is an ordinance amending the official zoning map for service area 1 of the Petersburg Borough to rezone number 01-014-125 at 919 Sandy Beach Road from public use to single-family residential. I'd entertain a motion to adopt ordinance 2016-12 in its first reading.
So move.
Second.
Okay, been moved by Member Strand, seconded by Member Lynn to adopt ordinance 2016-12. Discussion?
Where do I start?
All right, pick a spot.
I initially was in favor of this. However, as I start to delve into these records, it appears that the, there's a couple things. One is our frequently asked questions for our comprehensive plan speak to our intent for the future for an area, and specifically say that although we've called this Waterfront B, that that plan is not zoning. It's a general direction. When I look at some of the information for the history of this property, to me it seems like the intent was to keep this an open space, not to have it be a single-family dwelling, even though public use allows that as the use for that property. And I don't see there are so many other issues with who owns the easement, does it have access, that I'm really not comfortable with rezoning this parcel at that time. I think if that was our intent for the future, and I think a number of people have weighed in and asked us not to do that, that we need to clear up some other issues first. There's some code as far as flag lots and access. I can't tell if we are calling the road, the easement into the property, an approved road. I can't tell if that's really how that should be perceived. When I look at the DNR maps, they conflict with our maps, and there are some inaccuracies in all of this that make me really uncomfortable about moving forward with this.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments on this ordinance, 2016-12?
Just a question for Liz. On the access off Sandy Beach to that, there is an easement that goes directly that's in place right now, that has been in place, that is being used to the Evans and the other properties there?
Right. There's a 50-foot public access easement that provides access to lots JK, LA, N, and then presumably lot 10 as well, since it's adjacent on the other side of that easement.
I have another question, Liz, since you're there. So you see on this map that Chris Norris gave us, there's a 14-foot gravel driveway. Is that on private property then?
I have it. Thank you.
Oh. I'm sorry. You don't have a copy of
it? No, I do.
Okay.
Thank you. That driveway runs on the public access easement that crosses JK and LA.
So that is in addition to the 50-foot wide easement that's there?
It's within that.
Oh, it's within it. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then this is...
And I should say there's a little piece that actually, I believe, crosses over the Keeneman's property at the very entrance of it, where it meets Sandy Beach Road.
Where it comes off Sandy Beach Road.
Yeah.
Okay, just trying to clarify the lay of the land here. Cindy?
So just to clarify, so you're saying... It's an easement across private property.
The public access easement, all easements are on private property. So that is what it is.
Then I have one other question, and that is I asked the clerk, the reason I can't find it is I didn't print it out. There was a request by Chris Norris and a previous property owner, a joint owner, to vacate an easement. What portion of that was requested for vacation, and the fact that it wasn't recorded, does that inviolate it, or does that make it not viable, or go ahead.
The 50-foot easement ran from Sandy Beach Road all the way to the water, and it would have crossed Lot N originally. So the portion that's on Lot N is the part that was vacated. So currently, the public access easement runs from Sandy Beach Road to the property line at Lot N. So that's where Lot N gets access to Sandy Beach Road, as well as Lot A and Lot JK.
So the vacation was where the shop building is located? I'm still confused.
So you see where Chris has highlighted the property line and her lot on that map?
Yes.
From there back to the water. Is vacated.
I'm still not understanding it. Okay. So the fact that it wasn't recorded doesn't change the fact that the easement exists?
The easement was created as part of a U.S. survey. So the recording what caused confusion is when we went and the surveyor went to look to see if that easement still existed on Lot N, we found a resolution by a previous city council vacating it, but there wasn't a deed. And generally there's a deed, but then we checked with the borough attorney, and the borough attorney note said, fine, as long as there's a resolution and that's recorded, the vacation stands.
Okay.
So that's definitely vacated, and that is not there.
Okay. And that's why the buildings are...
Right, on there.
On
yeah.
the mm-hmm. former easement, or one from before. Any other... Bob, you've got another one.
Okay, now, the turnaround that Chris had talked about there, under our proposal to change it from 50 foot to 20 foot and to that easement, does in fact that thing has been in place for, let's say, I believe they said 79, does that then stay in place? In other words, will she have continued to be able to use it?
My understanding is not legally. You cannot claim adverse possession on public property. So if she wanted to continue using that turnaround as is, it would need to be negotiated with the future owner, if there's a future private owner. So,
if the lot was sold.
Right.
Mr. Mayor, if I may.
Yes.
This is Steve Giesbrecht. Just a question for Assemblymember Lakodakis. So, what did you foresee the use of that property? And the reason I say this is you heard my spiel about money.
Mm-hmm.
We're not really looking at building more parks, or, in fact, we're kind of looking more at the other direction, which is how do we maximize property tax revenue going forward, and rather than having borough property sit unused. And, you know, that particular piece there, was there a movement to develop it as a park, to put trails in? I guess I'm just from the staff's perspective, if the assembly goes that direction, is what is the will of the assembly? What do you want us to do with that property then?
When I look at what the history of that property and the way it appears to have been intended, and what the change in how we have said what our zoning would be, the only thing that seems to make sense to me is open space.
Nancy?
When the state auctioned off the land on Sandy Beach Road, they withdrew the parcels on either side of my little lot, deeded them to the city for use as a park. And I think that's how the state deals with intending for something to be parkland, green space.
Well, that's what happened when these lots were all sold. The state auctioned them off.
Well, whenever 45 years ago, and I came down to bid on those two lots, and they'd been withdrawn. So I think that's how the state deals with their encouraging municipalities to keep green space.
Okay. Any other comments by assembly members? I could see where it would be a little confusing if you said it's public space, but our code allows for you to build a single-family residence on it. But if that's what it says, then, that zoning could be changed and it could be sold, but we're not to that point yet. We're just talking about rezoning of this parcel. Okay.
Question for the manager, if I may, Steve. Sorry, bad timing there.
Okay.
I guess to put you on the spot, how do you read the intent? Like, what do you see as the intent designated for that property, given the historical context? Do you view it differently, as Member Lagadakis mentioned, or?
I do, but I'm not sure I can back it up with anything other than, zoning codes are... It's interesting to look at. I mean, for example, when the borough decided to create a public use zoning code, did they spell out and say public use means the following, and we never expect it to be used for anything other than green space? Or did the assembly or P&Z at the time decide that it was public use just meant it was owned by the borough? I don't know the answer to that. My thing is actually a step further than that, which is we're not going to, I mean, unless the Assembly tells me to start planning it, our plans were not to build another park. And, you know, I've talked to PIA. They have no interest in, I mean, they don't see that as any kind of a threat to the petroglyphs. Petroglyphs are in front of Chris's house, not in front of this property.
Correct.
And traditionally, they, you know, and we all, I think, seen this, the access to the petroglyphs and stuff has been through Sandy Beach Park, which makes some sense. I just look at it from a perspective that zoning can change, land use can change, and it does on a regular basis. And that becomes the big challenge. I mean, nothing's sacrosanct in the sense of if it's public use today, it could be rezoned. If it makes sense by the people, you guys voting on it, then it gets rezoned and we move on. One of the things that, you know, Liz is tasked with doing as well as myself, which is how do you maximize the revenue for the borough? And that's taking publicly owned property that has maybe a better, higher value, higher use by moving it into the private sector so we can collect property tax, offset some of the tax liability for the rest of the residents in town. So I'm not disagreeing with Cindy. It's just a matter of an issue of if it's going to be left as Greenbelt, then we're going to have to, as a group, start talking about where does the Assembly want Greenbelt? Is it just on Sandy Beach Road, or is it everywhere in town? I mean, should when we design a subdivision, you know, add to the airport subdivision, for example, do we say every other lot's going to be Greenbelt, or do we say, no, you know, we're developing these for to put on the market? So it kind of depends on where the Assembly goes with it, but it will pose more questions for us from a planning perspective to figure out what do you want us to do. You know, again, is Greenbelt, green space just appropriate for Sandy Beach, or is it appropriate for everywhere in town? I mean, we'll end up in those conversations if that's what the Assembly wants.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Any other comments by the Assembly? And this is the first reading of this ordinance. There'll be two other readings. The second reading, we'll have a public hearing to go along with it, so we'll have more public testimony at that time. So seeing no other, you have a comment, Kurt?
Yeah, I've got some concerns here with this, Mark, just because of the safety issues that's been brought forth. You know, we've got a couple of concerned citizens, and I realize we're not supposed to just operate on just what a couple of people's opinions are, but it seems to me I think we need to maybe think a little outside of the box here and see if we can't parlay some of their fears that, you know, I'm not saying giving it away. I'm not saying selling it to them. I'm saying can we look at, you know, addressing their concerns, first of all, you know, with zoning in a sense, you know, so that they feel like they can walk away feeling somewhat at ease that, you know, that this whole thing doesn't stay as is and just get sold as a lot. Because, I mean, I believe that we probably should try to generate income, if we can. But on the other hand, I don't want to run over the top of somebody, you know, without making sure that their fears are at least addressed, you know, and we can maybe think outside of the box. So without kicking this can down the road back to planning and zoning, but, I mean, is there some way that we could replat this a little bit so we can still get what we need out of it and they can get what they need out of it without, you know, being really convoluted?
I don't know.
Liz, that's a Liz question, I'm pretty sure.
I mean, I'm sure it could be
surveyed. I mean, we're talking 1.33 acres here, you know. I mean, what happens if it's a one-acre lot? You know, I mean, does that devalue it so much that it's not worth us doing anything with? Or maybe we could replat this road so it's going more down the middle of the property and, you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think
then you possibly couldn't build on an easement.
If I may, and then I'll punt to Liz. The answer is yes and yeah, you can always replat property. There's a cost to that. I mean, talk about resurveying and redesigning lots. And there's a very involved process to go through that Liz would have to try to define as far as what goes to P&Z and then what comes back to the Assembly. So, yes, it can be replatted. It would take some time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's
not like that property is going to be devalued, you know, over time. It's not like it's a fish going up a creek. If we don't catch it before it goes up, we're going to lose it, you know. I mean, it just seems to me like I'd like to hear some ideas outside of the box on how this can, you know, everybody can get what they want out of it without, you know, being too greedy about it, you know, just what they need. So,
a couple of quick observations. First of all, And I don't want to try to tell the Assembly how to handle things, but so on this particular item, then it has nothing to do with the lot lines of the property. This particular one you're voting on has to do with how it's zoned.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted to talk about redrawing the lot lines, where would we want to put that, Liz? Yeah, I mean, maybe it added as discussion item or I don't know, maybe part of 15E on the public access easement, redesigning that, something. But I'm just trying to make sure, because it is complex.
Sure,
so,
yeah. And it seems to me like that this whole thing is, you know, from listening to, everybody has a different idea of what it is, you know, and so there's no real cut, clear case, you know, of what we're dealing with here. And like if there's a little room for wiggle here, so that.
I'm just saying there's always, it can always be replatted. There is a cost to that, though. Okay. So if the Assembly wants to sell it, or at least wants to sell it, or believes it should be single family residency, then this is the item that you're talking about. 15E is about the easement, and maybe that's where you could say, go back to the drawing board. I want to caution the Assembly that any kind of changes in that vein will probably take this off the auction list for now. We won't have time to get it all done. There's too many. We'll have to start the whole public process over again on basically redesigning the lots. And, I mean, that will miss your auction date that you'd previously, you know, talked about. So
we are addressing this individual piece of property three times in today's meeting. One is this rezone. That's the first issue. And then is whether we want to sell it. And then the next one is the if we're going to change the easement. So first reading of three. But after the testimony from the adjacent property owners, I could understand how any of this will affect them after living there for a long time. Eric?
Yeah. As I see it, the rezoning will really only directly affect the neighboring properties. I feel it's the most important thing, though, for the community is just to retain the character of that corner, that point right there. The majority of use going either to the petroglyphs or the fish traps is from Sandy Beach Park. I tried walking through the lot and found it awkward at best to head from the road. So Sandy Beach Park made the most sense. The problem with, as I see it, of zoning it to single-family use is that most likely the tenants are going to be interested in that view shed, and they're therefore going to stick out their property out toward the edge of the property boundary and then make it awkward as folks round the corner there. And, of course, we wouldn't want to be able to take away their right to do so because they purchased the property, but feel that there are concerns and questions about either side. I can see both sides of the argument here.
Okay, any other comments? Seeing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Barrett?
No.
Jay?
Yes.
Kurt?
No.
Bob?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Cindy?
No.
Mark?
Yes. Okay, 15A passes in its first reading 4-3. And now the next item on the agenda is Ordinance 16-3, and it's Ordinance Number 2016-3, an ordinance of the Petersburg Borough adjusting the fiscal year 2017 budget for known changes. I'd entertain a motion to adopt this ordinance in its first reading.
So moved.
Second.
Motion been made by Member Greger, seconded by Member Castro to adopt Ordinance 2016-13 in its first reading, and it is to adjust the budget. Any discussion? Basically, for the people listening in the audience, is to redo the budget for to purchase a minivan, electric department transfer of funds, Homeland Security award document, using some of the 9/11 surcharge funds to upgrade the 9/11 system, and school debt reduction, and City Creek Dam request and state allocation. What is the total fiscal note on this? I don't see it written here. Is there one? I guess, are they listed individually? Okay. So if the assembly wants, we could address them individually, but I think what we want to do is just adopt this ordinance for known changes. Is any other discussion besides me rambling on?
If I may, just
Steve,
it's mostly in, you know, we get more grant money, things like that. The one issue that I think is worth talking about, because it will come up next year in particular, is the school debt reduction. This is an issue where the state used to pay a portion of the school bond payment. They changed that with the latest budget. We had enough money in the bond fund to cover this year's payment. That won't happen in future years. So this will involve a mill rate increase to make up for the lack of the state funding that used to supplement this. And it was for which facility, Jody? Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah, maybe we could. Do we have an amount, what this is going to affect us, 25%?
So, yeah, $117,000 this year. So a few of our GO bonds that we pay each year for the Aquatic Center and School Deferred Maintenance and the Voc Ed building are reimbursed each year between 60 and 70% by the state. So we make the full bond payment, and then they reimburse us within a few weeks of each payment, that amount. They notified us this year that they're reducing that 60 to 70% by 25%. So none of the communities in Alaska were notified until after we sent out property tax bills. So either we do a supplemental property tax bill or we use the reserves. There's just enough reserves in this fund to cover it this year, and next year we'll just have to tack it on. So any questions?
What's the rate increase are you assuming?
Well, enough to make up $117,000, so half a mil.
Half a mil just on those dedicated?
Yeah, and it would just be for service area one.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's just for the pool and the
Yes, top. Yeah, not the library or Mountain View Manor.
Right, okay.
And then any estimate on what you were going to have to maybe increase the mill rate for the schools at some point in the future if they continue to reduce our funding?
Not right now, I guess. Okay. It depends on how much they reduce it, yeah.
Okay, all right. All right, sorry.
Okay, well, the start of the reality, I guess. So, any other discussion?
Just a comment. Is it? I agree with Jody's take on this, is rather than to go back out and send property bills to everybody and so forth. I think hers is a reasonable approach to take it out of our account right now, but we're going to have to address it next year, obviously. I mean, the future, if the state still continues to reduce their funds back to us on the bond debt. But anyway, I think I thank you for doing what you've done on this, Jody.
We're fortunate we have the money in reserves right now, it sounds like, so. Any other discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Bob?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes. So ordinance 2016-13 passes unanimously. It's adjusting the fiscal year 2017 budget. The next item is C, Resolution 2016-23, a resolution authorizing the sale of borough-owned land within the Petersburg Borough. I'll entertain a motion to adopt Resolution 2016-13 in its first reading.
So move.
Second.
Moved by Member Strand, seconded by Member Lynn to adopt Resolution 2016-23. Is there any discussion?
Yes.
Let me back up a minute. This is this is a resolution, not an ordinance, so this will only have one reading. This is the action we'll be taking today. Excuse me. Cindy.
Yes, I would like to remove parcel 01-014-125 until some of the issues around that are clarified.
And that is the piece of property that we just voted
for. 119.
That's 919 Sandy Beach reading. Road.
Correct. Yes. I see the description. So that's in the form of a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Motion's been made by Member Lagadakis, seconded by Member Wallhooter to remove this piece of land. 01014125 is the number. Discussion.
I have a question. We vote on this. This isn't the only time we vote on this, right?
It is.
Correct.
It is.
On the sale of these lots.
Okay. Actually, if I may, this is the Assembly previously voted to do this, and we had to change the resolution because of the dates.
Correct.
Okay. So any other discussions? Or?
This does not mean, though, that we can't add 919 later on in future sales. This is just temporarily right now until we resolve some of these issues.
Correct. It's just removing it from this sale. And another note, we can actually add between now and January other lots to this auction.
Sure.
January 17th, I believe, is the proposed date. Jody, you have a comment?
So Chapter 1612 of the Municipal Code deals with the sale of real property. The Assembly can initiate this by resolution. There was questions earlier. Someone stated that we didn't go through the public process, but we followed the code exactly. I just wanted everyone to know that. And also that the public process for when you initiate some land, sorry, this is really loud. It states that once you pick an auction date, then you notify the adjoining property holders and you post the signs and everything. And it's not the best code. I think it probably needs to be changed, but we followed exactly what it said. So anyway, I just wanted to get that noted for the record.
Jody? Question real quick. So I have a question. This is kind of, this will go into the future, but this is kind of a devil's advocate. Say, for example, we were to make the sale for these two properties or a portion thereof, the $30,000 to the Kinemans and then $10,000 to Norris. How much would the property values increase and therefore the property taxes from each of those portions of Lot 10?
Well, I'm not the assessor, so that would have to go back to them. And they would see. And I don't know how Tim's affects the access to Sandy Beach Road, if there's any issue there. But right now it can be subdivided into two lots if someone were to purchase it. If there were two portions sold out of it, I'm not sure if that would still be the case. And there was something else I was going to...
$2,000.
What's that?
The value if it was sold intact. I think you did a calculation on that for me, for us. Annual property tax.
Oh, annual property taxes would be at least $2,000. And if someone did build a house down by the water, I think, and Carl can help me out with this, but I believe a pump station would be needed, some sort of lift. That might.
Cindy?
I just wanted to make a comment, and I appreciate that you followed process, and I know staff has done a lot of work on this. The difference here is that we're talking about rezoning and selling, not just selling something where everyone had a common understanding of what the zoning was. And the other piece that we really haven't discussed is that planning and zoning recommended that we keep it as open space, as public use. And so just wanted to put that out there.
Okay. Any other discussion on this? This is the amendment, and this amendment would remove Lot 919 from the auction. Proposed to be on January 17th, 2017.
Bob, I'd like to ask Cindy, what questions from your perspective now, if we were to go with this, need to be answered?
There are still some questions about, in my mind, access and easement and what qualifies as an approved road. In my mind, looking at this, the intent of this property was to be public use open space. and I'm concerned about changing that somewhat arbitrarily. I see it's already changed on our borough map, even though it hasn't been voted in yet. And I feel strongly that we have a planning and zoning commission that we rely on to make recommendations, and they've done that, and they were unanimous.
Excuse me, unanimous on what issue? Because the first one vote was a 3-3 tie. Pardon? The one vote was a 3-3 tie.
For not selling the property?
No, for the rezone? The vacation of the easement was 3-3. And then they didn't get a second on the rezone.
Why don't you come to the mic so the public can hear that too? Otherwise, they just hear me spouting off.
Well, one of the things, and Jody addressed that a little bit, which is the challenge here is it's these. I mean, I'm trying to follow the code.
Mm-hmm.
The assembly's job is whether the property should be sold or not. That's not really in P&Z's job description, unfortunately, on this particular issue.
I understand that.
So, you know, again, staff's responsibility is to follow the code that is basically the law of Petersburg. And it clearly talks about it's the assembly's role to decide whether property should be sold or not. P&Z's role on this was to
talk through. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, so it's...
So it was the rezone was really the crux of the issue.
Right. So and their future recommendation is great, and we appreciate that. But it's really that piece is not part of the what their job was in that situation.
And I understand that we are going to be under some significant budget challenges in the future. However, when I go through the list of the properties that the borough owns, it goes on for pages and pages and pages and pages. So there are potential other properties that we could sell to raise revenue.
This is a little bit out of the agenda, but there's a person in the audience that this involves would like to comment again. So, Chris, I'll let you come up and comment again.
Mr. Mayor, I really appreciate that. I think the problem is that when the Borough Assembly originally considered selling this piece of property, that even though they followed code, the adjacent property owners and the public at large was not notified in a manner similar to how planning and zoning is notified. And that came up during the planning and zoning meeting, realizing that they have a much more thorough process to make sure that adjacent property owners are well aware of what's being proposed for a piece of property. According to the borough code, the borough doesn't have to do that. But for those of us that weren't aware, although we tried to keep abreast of what was going on, we couldn't comment. So it's kind of like you can't have it both ways. It's like I think the planning and zoning was trying to be really responsive to the public and allow a thorough public process to be had so that the best decision possible could be made. I'm not accusing anyone of not following the code, but that is what, you know, the result was probably not as good a public process as we could have had. I felt like that's important to clarify that.
Thank you. So that is how it is in our code currently, correct? Okay, so manager and clerk both agree.
And
that.
To specify again, and the staff has no, we cannot change the code.
No, that's our.
We have to follow it as it's written, not. We can't add things or delete things from it.
We are the policy setting board. So I guess before us, if there's no other comments, is amendment to resolution 2016-23 is to remove the lot in discussion, lot 919 Sandy Beach Road, from the auction on January 17th. Any other comments? Okay, this is on the amendment. Call the roll, please.
Bob?
No.
Nancy?
No.
Kurt?
Yes.
Jay?
No.
Cindy?
Yes.
Mark?
No.
Eric?
No.
Okay, so the amendment to remove this lot from the auction on January 17th fails with a 5-2 vote. So that brings us back to the main motion, and that is to adopt, let me get back on the right page here, Resolution 2016-23. So any other discussion on the main motion? Clerk, call the roll.
Jay?
Yes.
Kurt?
No.
Cindy?
No.
Eric?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Okay, the main motion passes 5-2. So the three lots proposed and possibly more we can add to this auction at a future date will be considered in January. Okay, that brings us on to the next item, item D under new business, Resolution 2016-24, a resolution authorizing the borough to contract for furniture, fixtures, and equipment with Think Office LLC for purposes of the municipal building and police station renovation project and to authorize the borough manager to approve the budgeted purchases. And this is an amount not to exceed $203,160. I'll entertain a motion to adopt Resolution 2016-24.
So moved.
Second.
Motion's been made by Member Strand, seconded by Member Wallhuter to adopt Resolution 2016-24. Discussion?
I have a question for Steve. Where are we at in our expenditures for what we've budgeted for the municipal building?
Still under budget at this point, but as you know, that can change. For this item, for example, we budgeted $250,000, and so far we've spent $30,000 of that on the new dais, and then this, if this passed, would be another $203,000, so we'd be slightly under that particular line item of the budget. On the contingency side, we've spent roughly probably $160,000 on such items as some of the asbestos removal items that we found after the fact, and some, you know, we had some issues with some locks and doors. Help me out, Carl. Toilets?
Soils.
Yeah, that's right, the soil removal. We had some issues with, we had a water. They caught in the jail area some stuff needed to be added waterproofing to make it a little safer or a little more damage resistant, so to speak. And we agreed to tile a little bit higher. We had set the tile fairly low to the ground, and in some of the bathrooms we raised that tile set to make it easier to clean. So majority of it was hazardous material, but you know, lots of little stuff has got us to that number today. So we budgeted $700,000 in contingency. We've spent $170,000 of it.
Thank you.
Yeah, so we've spent $160,000 of the contingency money. What was the amount we had?
We budgeted $700,000 for contingency.
Still a good portion remaining.
Yeah. Okay. My biggest
concern. I couldn't remember the number. So.
Sure. Yeah. My biggest concern on contingency at this point, we are. If you haven't been through it, we can take you through. We're far into the project. Would be if we find anything underneath the existing police station slab when they go to remove it. We finished all of the in-ground work now on the rest of the building, and that's where the biggest bulk of this stuff came up. So I would assume that would hold true. So when we dig underneath, we remove the slab and the existing PD will be the next big milestone to see if there's any, you know, problems there. Whether we run into more hazardous material disposal or just rock fill that has to be done or whatever. So,
Jay?
Just a quick clarifier. Including this resolution and including purchases, if I'm hearing you right, even with all that, we're still at this point under budget.
Correct. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah. Slightly. $20,000.
We'll count.
Any other discussion? I've got one question for clarification. I had someone ask when the first part of this was going to be done. When are the police going to move into the new section?
Sure.
Proposed.
proposed. That transition is going to be probably one of the hardest parts of the project, to be honest with you, is making sure that everything works and we have a month to do it. So right around January 19th, the first phase is done. At that point in time, we get 30 days in the building to move all of the PD into their new facilities, including all the technology that supports them. That's 911, radios, the whole thing. That's going to be a really busy and really tight 30 days. At the end of that 30 days, the contractor gets the site back, and they'll start on the demolishing the existing PD building and turning it into a Sallyport. So, again, January 19th is we're expecting them to be done and turn the building back over to us. We get 30 days to move, and then they get the building back. Now, granted, as you can imagine, that can flex a little bit as we find things. I mean, again, moving 911 and stuff like that is just not simple. We've got to install a brand-new system is what it amounts to, and then train people on their new workstations and get everybody moved. So that's probably the biggest thing that's stressing me out on the project at this point is just that, can we get that thing done in 30 days? We'll move us back at our leisure. So whether that happens at the same time we're moving the PD, I doubt that. We want all of our resources focused on getting them moved smoothly. So we may not move back in until, you know, end of February, first part of March, just to make sure everything's cool in the building before we go get in the contractor's way. Project is due to be completed sometime June, July, I believe. So in other words, the phase two part of it.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Sorry to lengthen things out here. But okay. Any other discussion on this resolution for expenditures for furniture? Seeing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Jay?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Okay, resolution 2016-24 passes unanimously. So the next item on the agenda is resolution 2016-25, a resolution vacating a 50-foot public access easement and replacing it with a 20-foot private access and utility easement on Lot 10, Section 35, Township 558S, Range 79E, Copper River Meridian. This is parcel 01014-125, located at 919 Sandy Beach Road. I'd entertain a motion to adopt this resolution.
So move.
Second?
Second.
Motion's been made by Member Strand, seconded by Member Greger to adopt resolution 2016-25. Discussion?
Who brought this resolution forward, Mark?
Who brought this resolution forward?
Is this something that the city brought forward? Is this what we've been talking about, this
line? It's the same, the 50.
This one here?
Change it from 50 to 20, as Chris had described in her map.
Okay. And this was brought forward by planning and zoning, or this was brought forward by?
I'm not sure.
Okay, well.
I would assume it was probably a PEDC.
It'd be nice to know what the reasoning is.
The borough.
Liz Cabrera again. When the borough had the property surveyed, there was some question about whether there was this 50-foot wide public access easement, which may or may not exist on Lot 10. In order to clear it off the books and make sure that it actually isn't there and provide for the presumed private property owner to be able to develop the lot fully, we thought it would be best to extinguish that easement. That makes sense. So it was a borough staff originated proposal to get the property to be as valuable as possible for when it was time to sell it.
So then we're going to go from 50 feet to 20 feet here for that utility power and locate that. That's what that's going to be for.
And also it changes it from being a public access easement to a private easement that would only be to the benefit of Lot 10. So it extinguishes the public access portion of it. So really it's more for the use of the presumed owner of Lot 10 and then also for utility maintenance.
Does that answer your question, Kurt? I guess what it does is just leaves a little strip there for utilities.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have Bob. Liz up there. When we change that from a public access easement to our, from the to a private access easement, then the piece that Chris Norris uses there for turnaround, then that's no longer, since there is no adverse possession against the government, then that's no longer a, in other words, that's now, and it would whoever buys that lot, it would be under their auspices, so to speak, whether or not she can keep it. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah, so there would be no legal right for the owner of Lot N to use that portion to turn around in, right?
Could that be changed such that that remains a public up to and past her turnaround? Could that remain a public access easement then for that piece?
I think what you would, well, and it may or may not be, but just to suggest that what you would want is an easement that's to the benefit of Lot N, right? So the owner of Lot N has the right to turn around in that little turnaround?
Yes.
Yeah. So as the owner of Lot 10, the borough, you can grant an easement to the owner of Lot N and say, I'm giving you and anyone else who ever owns Lot 10 the right to use, and then you just describe that little turnaround now and forever, you know, in perpetuity. You could do that without, you know, creating a public anything. It's just a little piece of Lot 10 that is for the benefit of the owner of Lot N.
It makes sense to me that how you could do that, but would that be a deterrent from the person bidding on Lot 9 or Lot 10? Or no, what we're saying is leave the little driveway accessible to Lot N or no?
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Just wonder how that would affect the...
Yeah, so then it would give the Lot N owner basically an easement, so a right to use that little turnaround on Lot 10.
And it's within the proposed 20-foot easement?
That's really neither here nor there. You really are setting up a separate easement with the owner of Lot 10. So it's just between the two owners, the borough as one owner, and then Chris as the other owner.
Do you think that would change the value of that lot then, if we were to do that?
Yes, sir, so.
No. Yeah.
Liz, if I may, is that something that is easily done and it becomes part of that property if it's sold permanently?
You're asking, does it have to go through the Planning Commission? No, it doesn't. As the owner, I think if the Assembly wanted to do that, it's just basically between property owners. You know, it doesn't create a public interest, so it's just between the property owners. And you could record that easement. I would assume by just adopting a resolution or something to that effect.
And how long has that piece been there since the
lot that little there? Turnaround?
Yeah, since all was developed.
I think since Chris bought it, right? Yeah, prior to, so.
Yeah, I see.
Excuse me?
Okay, Liz.
And I'm just wondering, do you believe that maybe the resolution that they are looking at right now could just be amended to include
this? Yeah. An option. I see if another adjacent property owner has his hand up to speak, and we'll give him the same courtesy as we did the other.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Tim Keeneman again. As this process has evolved over time, you have not had the ability to look at all the information that's available. There is no easement across Lot 10. And your staff told me that they checked with the title service, and they don't see an easement across Lot 10. The original easement that went across 10, which was for gravel removal from Sandy Beach Road, and you can find that in the archives in DOT in Anchorage. I tried to obtain a copy of that on two different occasions through Juneau, and maybe you can get one, but I can't get one. And that original easement was restricted to U.S. Survey 3276, not Lot 10. So you're vacating an easement that doesn't exist. And I don't know how you do that legally, but maybe there's a way in our code, our convoluted code, to do that. The other issue, I would say, is one of fairness. If you're going to accommodate the use of part of Lot 10 for one, then I believe I can come up with very valid uses for part of Lot 10 for removing dangerous trees on my side. So I guess what I have to do is come to you with a resolution to do that in the near future. So thank you.
Thank you, Tim, for your comments.